So, Nikki, how has your week been?
It's been busy. It's definitely been a busy week. How about yours?
I feel that. I totally understand. I have been rushing to get everything ready for my big trip this weekend, and it's been a lot. So I've been very busy.
Thanks so much for taking time though to just record this today, and I feel you because I am also packing to head home since I've been away for a bit. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, as you are leaving somewhere, I am coming home.
It is kind of weird that, like, right when your vacation ends, mine's about to start. So, but I had just enough time to get this episode recorded, and I am so excited for today's episode because this movie is probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, I know. It's funny because I swear we've had this pre-planned in the past, and I want to say that we've talked about doing this specific movie the last so many seasons, and for whatever reason, we just haven't.
No, we haven't. And it's kind of weird because we've definitely covered films in this genre before, and I don't know why it's taken us this long to get to this one because this is such a good film.
Absolutely. What are we talking about today?
So today we are going to be reviewing The Emperor's New Groove.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Honestly, what a cult classic. I'm just going to go in and start right off with that. Is this movie, the people that really loved this movie growing up as a kid, whether you don't even have to be a kid, you could have been an adult watching mm-hmm. this movie. For crying out loud, I was an adult when I first watched this movie back in, oh my goodness, I'm probably not exaggerating. I think I finally sat down in 2020, maybe 2019, to finally watch this movie. And regardless, if you were a kid that saw this in the year 2000 or an adult, it does not matter. It's loved by so many people.
This movie was so captivating to me as a child that I just absolutely loved it. I was definitely the kind of kid who, when they found something that they liked, they wanted to just watch it over and over and over again. And I did that with this movie so much, to the point that I'm pretty sure that my dad didn't like it for a while because I would just watch it all the time. And to the point that the DVD copy that I actually had for this film stopped working. It just didn't play anymore one day, and it was so devastating to me.
Absolutely. And there's just so many different things about this film too. In particular, I will say the characters are really fun, very smart, funny. Mm-hmm. I will say that the specific actors that they have gotten for this film was also really a great collective group of individuals as well.
The casting was fantastic for this film. Everybody really just brought their all to each of the characters and really brought them to life to the point that they are memeable and memorable. Yes. To this day.
Very quotable too, especially Yzma and Kronk. What a fabulous just villain duo. And saying villain is such a, I don't know if that's accurate, but hey, Yzma definitely was in her own way, but Kronk is just Kronk,
and we love him. It's actually kind of funny. Literally just last night, we were running a tournament at the store that I work at, and it was kind of a goofy tournament where we would change the rules or add new rules randomly throughout the tournament to kind of turn the game upside on its head. And at one point, we were doing a thing where we were messing with their timer, where we were either adding time or taking away time so they didn't know how much time they had left in their round. And every time it was time for me to change where the time was on the timer, my coworker would be like, "Pull the lever, Kronk!" And then I would move it. Everybody was like, "No, wrong lever." It was so funny. So it really shows that it has withstood the test of time, that even to this day, that without prompting, we were all quoting this movie.
Yeah. For anyone that's never seen this movie, it entails a very young emperor by the name Kuzco, who He's not very nice. He's always gotten his way, and literally people bend over backwards, answer every single command, but he is transformed into a llama by Yzma and Kronk.
And a llama? He's supposed to be dead!
Another very amazing quote. Another amazing quote from this film as well is, you said and I said that this movie is just quotable. And what ends up happening is, along the way, as Cusco is transformed into a llama, he is on the run from Yzma, who is trying to kill him this entire time, gets stranded into the jungle trying to make his way back, and obviously has, as any Disney movie comes to be at the end, that Cusco has an epiphany and changes his ways.
And another thing that this movie really did with its story along the way is, it was one of the first films I really remember as a kid that actually broke the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And there were multiple times where Cusco would talk to the audience and just be like, oh my goodness, can you believe this is happening to me? Can you believe I'm not the bad person. And you actually got to watch his growth through the fourth wall breaking too sometimes. And that was fun.
And I'm just putting this in here now before we get into any further of this conversation, because we always start this out. Anybody that's been listening to our podcast for the longest time knows we do spoilers in this podcast. This is your warning if you are listening, whoever's listening, that we are talking spoilers. And if you haven't seen the movie, go watch it.
So again, we were talking about some of our, just some of the characters in this movie, and I have to say that one of my favorite characters in this film watching it was Kronk the whole time. He is just, he's a side character in this entire plot, but I feel like the whole time he really just stole the show from just about anybody in every scene that he was in.
Right.
Patrick Warburton just brought his A game to this role, and it is probably one of my favorite performances of his to this day.
Absolutely. Even John Goodman playing Pacha was really good too, just because we know him as Sully as well. And I love that John Goodman works with Disney and Pixar so frequently. And I hope that continues, just because, I don't know, it's always good to have John Goodman on the screen, whether it's a cartoon character, whatever be the case, it's just always good having him.
He brings such a cozy character.
He does. It was very much very fitting for him.
Yes. And I love any performance that I get to see him in, because again, like you were saying, he works so well with Disney, he works so well with Pixar. His voice is such a comfort to me because of that, and he did such a wonderful job in this role as Pacha.
Yeah, my favorite character is Miss Yzma. I mentioned that when we were going over our top favorite scary characters for a Halloween episode about a year or so ago. And there's something just so comical about Yzma's character, because she's the main villain of this film, but yet she's just super out there and bizarre. Even her character design is so bizarre, with the huge eyelashes and the big glasses or goggles when she wears them. And I honestly could not think of a better person to voice her than Eartha Kitt. And it's so crazy to think about, because since Disney is on this bandwagon of redoing cartoon movies, they could absolutely redo this film. I'm just saying, if they're going to pick a film, but
original cast, otherwise I'm out.
But the otherwise I'm out. They would have to get a new Yzma, because Eartha Kitt is no longer with us.
That is true, but that would be so good, Nikki. That would be so good. I would watch the heck out of it. And I want it to be, I know it wouldn't be, but there's a part of me that kind of wants it low budget as well, where like, campy. It is a llama suit with like, you could see the zipper kind of deal.
Yeah.
I just want it to be silly, goofy, and really encapsulate the essence of the first film.
Oh, absolutely. Since just, as I've noticed with live action adaptations of Disney films, when they stay true to the cartoon version, it always usually pans out well than versus completely going off the grid. And yeah, that'd be definitely tricky trying to figure out who could play Yzma. There's
That would
nobody
be,
else.
yeah. I can't think of anybody off of the top of my head. It would be so hard to fill that role.
But just from start to finish, when we first get introduced to Cusco, it is the funniest thing where he's in the middle of the jungle just weeping and let me explain to you how I got here.
Record scratch. You might be wondering how I got here.
Oh, I know. And as it builds up to who is his character, just that famous line of "You're messing my groove, man."
I'm sorry, sir, but you've messed up the Emperor's groove.
This poor gentleman just getting thrown off the side. Who built where he lives?
That castle that he lives in, just so high on that mountaintop, and just the fall of the old man. I also love the callback that they have with him later on in the film after Cusco's kind of gone through his journey and he's come back home and he's kind of trying to correct the errors that he had as a bad emperor. And you see that old man come back like, "Oh no, I got some fight in me." And it's like, "Sir, you fell off of an entire mountain cliff. How are you still here?"
And that's really the cool thing with this film is when it does end, we get a TV series that was, I don't think it was long-lived, but
No.
it was just a extra cushion, not cushion even, but just an extra tidbit into the lives of Cusco and going to school and these new characters. And then that's where you also get the spin-off for Kronk. But I think as Kronk is one of your favorites, it's definitely a lot of other people's favorite character as well.
Yes, I think a lot of people really loved his character because he was just so much fun and just so goofy. And I love Kronk so much, the way he talks squirrels, that how silly he is. Almost every single line he has in the film is quotable. I actually had the privilege to get to meet Patrick Warburton at MomoCon one year, and he spoke squirrel to me, and I was so starstruck at the time. I could barely even, like, "Oh my God, he just spoke squirrel to me." He literally was like, "Squeaker, squeaker, squeaks." And I was just like, "Oh my God."
Did he make you an honorary mo member of the Squirrely Scouts or the Squirrely Squad? I forget what the proper term is.
Yes. And actually the group before me in line actually had an entire cosplay group together where one of them was Kronk with the big thing that he was carrying Yzma in during the movie.
Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
And then he had a bunch of squirrels, like just people in like squirrel onesies with him, and they took a big photo with Patrick Warburton, and I'm pretty sure that they are most definitely honorary members themselves as well.
One of the specific scenes that is coming to mind right now that is I love in particular is when they're like, "We're gonna fall off a cliff, aren't we?"
We're heading to a giant waterfall, aren't we? Yes. Giant rocks at the bottom? Most definitely. Bring it on.
I'm curious why Disney never ran with that and added every year the parks continue to grow, but I'm curious just why they never made a section of Emperor's New Groove, at least not to my knowledge, that they were ever official characters at Disney meet and greets.
I'm not too sure. I'm not entirely big on what goes on at the Disney parks or whatnot, but that being said, it's I don't think I've ever heard of there being like a Emperor's New Groove ride. I've definitely never seen any TikToks or videos of people getting to hang out with Kronk or any of the other characters from Emperor's New Groove, and I think that would definitely be a really fun one. That's definitely the characters I would want signing my autograph book if I showed up. So I definitely think that's some territory that Disney should get in on if they're not already.
It's funny too because the whole entire lair that Yzma is in and where she conducts all of her llama potions and all that, it's essentially a roller coaster that her and Kronk get on to and to the
Yes.
bottom.
And that would be such a good one too. Just like the ride is right there. Why don't we have it?
Disney, you should do it.
Come on, come on.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of the jokes in this film were very smart, and they still stood the test of time, too. That's a big thing when it comes to a lot of movies, is can they stand the test of time where culture is changing, and just the way we talk about things is different, and where specific movies I could sit here and think about could not be, they wouldn't be able to be made today just because of the jokes, regardless if it's a supposed to be a child's movie or not.
And I definitely think this one stands out amongst a lot of comedies and a lot of movies like it, where it, the jokes and everything in it, it could get made today and be completely fine, completely acceptable. I'm pretty sure everybody would love it. I think it would be, I watch it to this day and it still makes me laugh. So I think this one really stands the test of time and really holds up well in the year 2023. And it's such an enjoyable movie to get to go back and rewatch.
Oh, I have to agree, because as I mentioned starting this episode, that I was very much late to the game of watching this film. I had seen specific parts of the movie, but never from start to finish. And I'm so glad that I finally did, because it was definitely one that I was missing, where I could sit here and go through the list of Disney films and say, yeah, you don't need to watch that, or one time, where this is something that, yes, you watch it one time, but I would highly recommend for you to watch it again a second or third time.
It's just such a fun film the entire time. It's so silly, goofy. The pacing in it is really great. All the jokes are really funny, and again, they lasted the test of time, and it will make you laugh today, it will make you laugh tomorrow. It is such a fun movie. Plus all the characters, and not even just like Cusco and Kronk and Pacha and Yzma, every character you get to interact with is so fun and has such a good personality, even if they only get 2 seconds of screen time. They do such a great job. All the character designs are just so interesting and good. I think one of my very favorite side characters that doesn't get a whole lot of screen time in this film is probably Pacha's wife. She is so funny, and the way she just runs her house with this iron fist, and is also just so kind and so sweet. She's such a wonderful character.
Yeah, and the kids too. We get that whole entire scene where they are causing a ruckus in the house because Yzma is there looking for Cusco. And it's just so funny that I think the entire family is just, you could do a TV series about that.
Honestly, as much as everybody loved Kronk, maybe it was the wrong move to make the spinoff about Kronk. Maybe it should have been about Pacha and his family, because they were just so much fun. They were just so, so silly.
And that's a thing about movies, is where it leaves you, I think I mentioned this just the last couple episodes in the movie Fresh, where it leaves you at a point of, you know what, if this is all I get from this movie, that's great. I'm full, but it would be cool to get seconds. Mm-hmm. And even today, I'd be open to them bringing any kind of TV series into fruition with any of these characters, regardless of how many years have passed by.
I think it would be really great if they did. I would love to see that. I think, unfortunately, the time that this movie came out was that time where Disney really didn't take sequels or spinoffs or even their channel very seriously, and so it was very low budget, not very well done kind of stuff, where if it were today, if it would have been released today, I definitely think it would already have a sequel with a very good budget behind it and be very already planned out for to be coming out in the next few years. So I would love to see them revisit this franchise if they wanted to.
I mean, it wouldn't be too far off. We've asked and said that in our podcast before, where look at Futurama, we talked about, oh my goodness, that would be a dream come true. And what do we know? A year later, after we did that episode, it was announced that we're getting a whole new season of Futurama. So dreams do come true.
Maybe we just need to say that we want things back on the show and then wait a year and then bam, we'll get it back.
Hey, I would be completely down for them to do a new film, bring the entire cast back, and on top of that, as well as I'd be open for them doing that new art style that they've been using, where it's the old-fashioned type of cartoon drawing, but then it also adds a little bit of that flair, and I'm talking about specifically what Puss in Boots: The Last Wish did, yes, where it's a comic feel.
Yes, I really like that new art style, and I think it would be really fun to get to see that, especially with the character designs that came from that film.
Oh,
I think they would look really good.
Especially Miss Yzma and her purple catness. That would be so cute.
Yes, that would be adorable.
Is that my voice?
One of the best lines of the whole thing.
I am still looking for that Funko. I can find it, but it's very expensive, rightfully so. I got the next best one. I have her turned into a squirrely scout and holding a little acorn. I have it at my desk, and I just love that
cute. That's little so Funko. Cute. That's so cute.
That's why, I don't know, Yzma is just such a fun, comical character. Just, she tries to be so evil, but it just never works out for her, where really it's, you're just ridiculous. Ridiculously cute young lady.
Yes, yes. And now forever stuck as a cat.
Yes. I am okay with that. Cat Yzma, you know, is the best.
There's worse things. There are worse things to happen. You could be stuck as a llama.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, just the whole film from start to finish was fully realized. It's, they take you on this journey of traveling through the jungle, trying to get back to just where the city is, because as we come to find out that Cusco has done some questionable things, especially trying to put, what was it, a swimming pool on top of...
He wanted to put a swimming resort on top of that mountain. Not just a pool, like a whole resort on top of the mountain, and unhome so many people to do so.
Not cool, man. You messed up the groove.
Yeah, you did. You messed up the whole groove.
What are your thoughts just about their relationship too, and how that evolves throughout the film?
I thought it was really fun and interesting to watch them evolve and become closer through their journey, and Cusco kind of learning through Pacha's kindness, empathy, which is something I don't think he ever actually had to deal with before. So it was really interesting to get to see that. But I think one of my favorite scenes, which actually causes a fight between them, but like eventually causes them to come back together and have their friendship be even stronger than before, is the entire restaurant scene where they go in as the married couple and pretend to be married so that he can, because specifically no llamas were allowed in this restaurant.
It just had to be llamas.
Right?
Yeah. It's cool to see Cusco come around throughout this film, because there's a lot of buildup to that, because you think at some points, oh yeah, he's finally come around, and he doesn't.
And then he goes right back to being.
Yes.
Yes.
And then there is finally actually at the end of the film where he does actually see the error of his ways. He finally understands and feels that empathy, where he does not make that giant swimming resort on top of Pacha's home. And it's funny where it's a lot of gotcha, I gotcha in this whole entire film.
Yes, there is a lot of back and forth in the, is he a good guy? Did he really come around? Or is he just trying to play it so he can get home and build his resort? But then I love the way that Pacha comes back and then helps him put the resort on the hillside next to him, and he shares it with everybody instead of just keeping it to himself and being lonely. And I think that's really what his issue was. That, and it's not something the film really like looks at directly or even talks about directly, but I really think a lot of the issue was is he really didn't have anybody outside of Yzma who really didn't care about anything other than getting the throne herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really just needed that kindness in his life and somebody to kind of help push him in the right direction and show him that, you know, you can be a good person and it can feel good to be a good person.
Oh, absolutely. I will say that there definitely was not a lot of information on his upbringing other than he's always had that silver spoon in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. And it they don't really say a whole lot about it. And outside of when Yzma is ranting and raving and smashing literal busts of his head. And she talks a little bit about raising him from a baby. And again, I don't know if Yzma's the best role model in the world.
Oh, I know. How on earth did she get all of those made? Were they just spares that he didn't want because they weren't perfect enough? But some anger relief right there.
Honestly, I have to assume that he is such a perfectionist that he definitely had thousands of them commissioned just to make sure he got the perfect one.
Well, Miss Rachel, what do you think the ratings were on Rotten Tomatoes?
If I remember correctly, I feel like this film was actually very well received amongst the critics. So I would say, I don't know if they were doing the different versions of like the ratings at the time that this film came out, because this came out a good while ago, but I would have to say that the critic score would have been somewhere around the 80%, because I still feel like they would like it, with it being a cartoon, they wouldn't have wanted to give it too high of a score. So I would like to say like maybe like 80%, somewhere in there. And then the audience score I feel like would be closer to the 90s, just because this is such a beloved film.
So you're pretty spot on with the critics. The critics gave it an 86, where the audience gave it an 84.
Really?
Yeah.
Again, I gave the audience more credit.
You did?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Well,
that is so weird to me, considering just, no, everybody I've ever talked to, I don't think I've ever talked to a person who disliked this film. Mm-hmm. Everybody always has good things to say about it. It's so quotable. Honestly, while we were talking about this movie, I thought about like five other times just this week that me and my coworkers have quoted this film, because again, it's timeless. It's just stuck with us throughout all of these years. And it's just, I'm really shocked that it's that, like, to me, that's low for a film like this.
Absolutely, I agree. So what are you giving this film?
I think it was pretty obvious from the very beginning of this podcast that I was going to give this film an extra large bag of popcorn with extra butter, extra popcorn salt, all of the good stuff. Hell, throw some M&Ms in there, throw everything in there, because this film is just so much fun. I've watched it over and over and over again, and it still makes me laugh every time I watch this movie. It's such a classic Disney film, and I would recommend it to anybody of any age. So 100% in my book.
I am also gonna have to agree. Darn it, Rachel, we did pick all these movies that we're getting just large bags too. Oh my goodness, so extra large bag, honestly, and ditto everything you said. This movie from start to finish was funny. It was sad. It gave all the feels. Happy. And honestly, the storyline is very well done. The characters are memorable. They're quotable. They're memeable. Mm-hmm. And it's something to this day that since I watched the film, it is something that I also continuously send gifts of Miss Yzma to people all the time, with her holding the little potion bottle going and yes, it's just such a great film, and I would highly, highly recommend it to anybody to see it and watch it if they haven't before. And it's just such a timeless Disney classic. And the funny thing is, when you say timeless Disney classic, people are going to ultimately think of things like Cinderella, mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast. This is a different era and a different time that this came out, and just so well done, smart, funny, the gambit. And I will continue to watch this film over and over.
Yes.
I'm just glad that we finally got to watch it the last time we were together.
Yes, because it's so fun.
I know, because we had never watched it together prior to the last time mm-hmm. I saw you. And it was funny to just finally watch a film that we both really loved together.
Yes. Yes. It was so great.
Well, next week's episode is going to be great as well. There's honestly nothing that I personally feel we could do or say that would be a hint for this specific TV show. I'm just going to point blank say what we're doing.
Okay.
You're like, all right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
We're going to be talking about the TV competition show on Netflix that recently came out this year in 2023, Physical 100.
Yes. So Nikki originally described this to me as Squid Games, but real life, and it's definitely been an interesting watch, so I'm interested to get to talk about this next week.
I will just say, yes, 100%, just like Squid Games, just the great thing is nobody gets killed off.
Yeah, everybody's fine.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this episode with me.
Of course. Anytime. I love doing this, Nikki. This is one of my favorite things that I get to do.
We've really picked a really great selection of TV shows, movies this season. And mm-hmm. it's funny, we might have to do the second half of the season just pure chaos and things that we did not like.
Honestly, because if we keep giving everything a large bag of popcorn, I mean, come on. We need to give something we need to give something a little bag of popcorn, a small bag of popcorn.
Absolutely. Well, until next time.
Bye.
If you like Two Girls, One Review, go subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. I was waiting to see if it was going to close
I was out. Sweating the entire time you did that.
We're running out of time, people. Less than a minute from Zoom. Oh, doomed. We're doomed.
Oh, God.
Oh. All right. I'm going to hang up before it hangs up on us, and I'll call you back.
Sounds good.
How's it still going?